Welcome to the Impossible is Nothing podcast, brought to you by Sport24 in partnership with Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg, for this two-part podcast series. We'll be chatting to two dynamic sports personalities about their athletic journey and what keeps them motivated. Despite being singled out and bullied during her primary school years for being different, Andrenée Weyers is now a two-time Paralympian and world champion. After she took to running, Andrenée became the girl with one arm who ran faster than everyone else, and she now teaches at a school for differently abled children. This is her story. Andrenée, welcome to the Impossible is Nothing podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to just be here today and share my story.
So let me start with your honors and what you've achieved in the world of athletics. Can you give us an update of where you stand right now on the African stage and also the world stage?
If I think of it, I kind of get goosebumps just knowing that I have this privilege of running and using this platform. So currently I hold the Africa record in the 100, 200 and 400 and the world record in the 400 as well. And sometimes it's kind of you want to pinch yourself if you look at what you've accomplished and what sport has taught me, not just the performance, but as a person, I've grown so much and accepting who I am and my disability. And that's a great honor to be part of the Impossible is Nothing as well, because my disability is my Impossible is Nothing story.
Yes, well, I wanted to ask you, and I'm sure many are curious to understand your answer to this, but focusing on the games, the Paralympic Games, with so much interruption with regards to COVID and everything that we've all faced in the last year and a bit, how have you managed to stay focused, fit, and ready for the games?
I think when the first lockdown hit South Africa and when the first COVID numbers came, it was quite scary in a way, knowing that you have no control. You don't know what the future holds. So COVID came and interrupted quite a lot of our plans. But I think something in me decided, you know what, we all face challenges, and being disabled and having challenges in your life, you overcome them. So we can do this together as well. And one of the things that I reminded myself as well, we're in this together. It's not just me and you. It's the world. It's us together in this. And that's why I do sport as well. Not just for me as a team, people working together with God, with my coach, the world supporting me and my husband, and everybody supporting this dream. So I think COVID hit hard, but I really am grateful that looking in the future now, with Tokyo Games, hopefully we can celebrate again as a world with the challenges we did face together.
Now, what's it looking like for Tokyo? What is the discussion going on with your coaches and with the teams? What do you expect in terms of timing, and what are the preparations looking like for you right now?
So I remind myself to live in the moment, to really appreciate every single day. And I think COVID has taught me that even more, that every day is a blessing, and focusing on what I have control over. The year is a bit, then it's here, then it's there. But I said, if the bus is going, I'm in it and I'm going. If the bus is not going, I think you must also feel content that they made the best decision for athletes and for the world, with COVID. But at this moment, we're working hard. We're doing what we can do on the track and in the gymnasium, making sure that I am ready to do what I need to do in Tokyo. And I hope the rest of the athletes in the world are also able, to also work on what they can do with COVID.
And any personal goals for your disciplines, records, what are you hoping for from a personal level?
I think any athlete, we do have an outcome and we have an expectation that we do have there that we want to work for. So I definitely want to go out there and really go for the world record in the 400, race in the 100, 200 and 400. I think the main thing for me as well is to experience joy and to also to celebrate whatever the outcome is at the end of the race with the other 7 girls that I did race with, and just be there and experience the emotions that I'm feeling there. I think that's quite important for me.
So I wanted to ask you about the Adidas community that you're part of now. And how do you see yourself making use of the brand's platform to tell your story? What is that relationship looking like at the moment?
I've only recently joined the Adidas team, the Three Stripes, and it's quite an honor. I'm grateful that I'm joining them. And I've realized, being part of their group and the family, it's not just about the clothing and the shoe. It's much more. Hearing and sharing our stories, different sporting codes. I think that's a big value that I have. And it has also changed a lot of things that I do in my daily life, like not having cappuccino out of a takeaway cup and actually having a real cup for it. So they've challenged my living and how I live as well. And I think that's the biggest thing of a brand when you join them is to dream with them and work on their goals and what they want to change, as the same with that they do for me as an athlete.
Now, looking to those that are younger, watching Olympic athletes like yourself, and looking to you as an inspiration, what is your message to the younger generation who, in a world full of pressure, may be feeling the pressure of being pushed in a certain direction, or some who might just not even know that sport is a great outlet for building confidence? What would you say to young children, based on your disability, your upbringing, and some of the challenges that you've overcome?
I think I would definitely tell them that grab each opportunity you do have. As a teacher as well, I really am forward to that people can create opportunity that kids can explore. Have the opportunity for different sporting codes where you can learn what you like, what you don't like, and see where you fit in and what you like, because sport has the power to definitely bring the world together and also unite, like Nelson Mandela said. And it also has the power to let you grow as a person, physically, and help you to also focus in the class as well. So I'll definitely tell them to explore. Be an explorer, put on your exploring outfit and sporting gear and explore different sporting codes and see what you do like, because I've experienced that different challenges come when you have different sporting codes. I remember I'm not the athlete that I am today just because of talent. I worked really hard and I put in hours. But thinking back, it was all the sporting codes that I did have that made me who I am today as well, all the opportunities. So I really hope that in South Africa and the world, we have opportunities that we create for children to explore and to see what they fit in, and also to have fun. Not to expect that you need that and you need this and you need this specific hockey stick or this specific shoes, just to be there barefoot and to have fun. That's a really important part for me.
So now, not only are you a champion athlete, but you're also a teacher. Now, casting your mind back to your early days at school, it was a tough road for you, for reasons, that you may explain. But what, when you look back now, given what you've achieved and what you're doing in community, what was it like being a young girl at school and facing the challenges of being different to other children?
It was very difficult. Bullying is a real thing, a big thing in the world. And we sometimes don't think what we say and how we react in certain ways. So that sat for very long in my years. It sat in my heart. And bullying was a place where each day I would come back from school with red eyes, not knowing why I'm the person not having a hand. In the school I was at, there was one guy that didn't have an eye and I had one hand, but no one was bothered with him. It was mostly me, that's how I felt. And that's exactly what happens when you are facing a challenge. You think you're the only one in the world, but we all have many challenges we do face. So I think sport and athletics was a place where I grew self-confidence, knowing that that's where I'm good at and that's what I'm going to do, because I feel good when I do it. My heart skips a beat. And that's what I want to encourage people as well, to find something you do love, because then you find yourself and you gain confidence through that. So I was definitely bullied quite a lot, and I want to thinking back, my teacher actually put the words that we all are unique and special. And knowing those words, it sits deep in my heart, that I want to also inspire people to show them that they must appreciate who they are and what they are. Because I experience bullying, but I also experience on the other side how it felt when I'm good at something and people are embracing that. And I want to encourage people to be open to see that, not to see the different thing, but to actually appreciate the person for who and what they are. And that's why I also started teaching and wanted to teach, is to show people that we need to appreciate our differentness from each other and our unique and special, how we are made, and embrace that instead of being bullying and laughing at each other. And that's quite important for me.
You're listening to the Impossible Is Nothing podcast, brought to you by Sport24 for Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg. Now, we all need leaders and mentors. The age of 9 at this school period, this difficult time, a teacher got hold of you, encouraged you to start running. Who was that person and what happened at that point?
She was my grade 1 teacher. Rihanna is her name, Hofmeyer. I still do have contact with her, and she only retired, I think, 10 years ago, which is she was a teacher for a very long time with a really big passion. And I think she had a really small heart, and it was one of those teachers where all 25 kids in her class was appreciated for who and what they are. They didn't get lost in the class. And she made me, realize that, by telling each and everyone our stories and where we come from and what our challenges was, made me realize I also want to be that teacher. I want to inspire kids to show them that everyone counts, and that you are enough despite your disability, despite whatever challenges you do face, that you are enough. And, I definitely, she still follows my journey of my athletics, which is really special because she was a big influence in what I am today. And I think obviously athletic is now the sport that made me open doors for me, but it could have been other sport for other people as well. And it was just at that right time, the door that opened for me was athletics, and I enjoyed it so much. It was fun. There was no, we did a lot of interesting exercises that made me want more of it. And I enjoyed it and I was good in it. But I'm very grateful for that I met her and that she was my teacher and guided me and was my mentor. That today I look back, and she was part of that group. That's part of my journey.
And what about other mentors, athletes that have helped you, that you've looked up to over the years?
My whole run group, our group is run free. My coach Suzanne is a big mentor, a third mom in my life. My mom is my first, then my aunt, and Suzanne is my coach. She definitely plays a big role. So our whole group is a community. We're individual sport. But we as a group, our group's name is Run Free, and we stand as a team. We celebrate each other. We're there when we have injuries, which is a real thing when you're an athlete. You feel like you're down in the dumps. We support each other. And I think each and every one of them plays a big mentor role in my life, and has such a big influence in who I am today. And we can actually tell each other, hey, listen, yeah, that was not right. We can help each other and guide each other on the road that we need to be. And then the other person is my grandfather. He's 82 this year, and he was the first person next to my bed when I was born with a disability or with my hand. Cause the doctors didn't realize that in the 9-month period I was in my mom's stomach, they couldn't pick it up. And he was the first person to actually be there. And he was in London 2012 at the Paralympic Games. So sharing a moment where day of birth, I was born without a hand. It was a challenge, but he was there when I received my first medal and we could celebrate that together. And he still lives, and he is an incredible person that I look up to, and I value quite a lot for what he's played in my life and has taught me in a biblical principle, and also to stand up when you do fall, because we all do fall, as long as you just stand up.
Now, you've spoken about sport, professional sport, but you've touched on character, you've touched on family, you've touched on meaning beyond a purpose, beyond sport. There's been a big move in the recent years to, you know, go beyond just the idol, if you like, of professional sport, because it is a short career. So what are your thoughts in just how you can have an influence into young people's lives that, yes, you may excel and become a professional sports person, but there's way more than, you know, that 5 or 10 year career, possibly even shorter if you have a bad injury?
For sure. I think that's the goal of sport, is to really, to grab opportunities. And when a door opens, to grab that. I'm someone that lives in the moment, and I like exploring. So I really believe that if you are open, then opportunities will be created where you can influence kids as well. I always thought that I would, maybe with this, I only taught half day, at a school, but seeing what influence I can have on kids' lives made me think that I want to go back and I want to coach and I want to teach them, because I have so much to give. So it's definitely an important part for me as an athlete to give back as well. And also to let them realize I'm also just a human being facing different challenges, because sometimes when someone accomplished so much in their life, people kind of think that you're better or you, and that's not what it is. So I think it's opportunity for me as an athlete to also show them that I'm just a human being, and all of us, despite what we accomplish, to give back to them. Yeah.
So beyond the professional athletic days, do you see coaching and teaching becoming part of your life for a long, long time in South Africa, potentially abroad? What are some of those thoughts?
Definitely, yes, for sure. I think we actually had our national championships in PE, where most of our disabilities competed, and we chatted at many schools, and all of our group members, they said, I must do the great ARB, which is my, I studied foundation phase, and had a chat with them about our different disabilities, and how the challenges we do face, and some of the disabilities you can't see, some are visually impaired and you can't see, and explaining that to them, my group members said that they know that that's my gift as well, is to teach young kids and to have fun, because I like getting out of my box and not being placed in it. So I think that's what kids like. They like being silly and I like you being real and being honest. So that made me realize I definitely want to go back to teaching. So I will, if it's in South Africa or abroad, I don't know, but I'll definitely go back to it, but I will coach only till a certain point when they want to go more professional in it, then I'll give it to someone else. But just the part where I make sport fun is the part where I want to coach them and learn them how to move, and so that they enjoy it. Because a big part of my athletic career was to have joy. As a sport person, there's a lot of pressure in the world that you need to do this, you need that. And I really want to encourage them to just have fun and to do it because they like it, not because they need to.
And Renee, we live in a country, South Africa, where many people grow up without hope. Many boys and girls grow up with very little hope, from impossible backgrounds. What has been your impossible as nothing, throughout your life?
So when we had the media day in Durban, it was so incredible to hear all the impossible is nothing stories and be inspired by that. And it actually made me so aware that we need to share the stories, each and every one of us. And Adidas Kids is creating that platform that we all share what we actually can do, despite what the world think we can't. So my impossible is nothing is definitely the fact that I was born with a disability, and thinking that I can't be a Paralympic athlete and I can't accomplish things. I can't cut, or I won't be able to write, or I won't be able to skip. And my impossible is nothing is changing that disability and making it actually use of different abilities that I actually can. And one of the things that I do, my impossible is nothing slogan that we did use is, where others see a Paralympian, I see running without limits. And it sums up, it's so good, because limitless is one of my words that I actually also use as a person, is to do things limitless, despite not having a hand, despite not growing up the way you have. I think that's also part of giving hope, that we hear different stories of people growing up, in a different area, or growing up with a disability, or growing up where there was no hope. So I really hope that as being disabled and, using my abilities and what I can actually do. And if I fail, it's okay. Because I think that was a difficult part growing up. So giving hope to people is also, it's okay to fail. We do fail in life, as long as you learn out of it and you grow.
Oh, that's wonderful. I mean, you talk of this impossible is nothing catchphrase, and many of us have grown up seeing it somewhere in the world of sport. Impossible is nothing. Can you remember the first time that you saw that slogan, that catchphrase? Where were you? What sport were you watching, and how did it make you feel now that you're part of the community?
I think actually I saw it when I was walking in the mall, and I saw an advert of them. And it hit me quite hard to think that what does that imply in my life? And I think being part of an Addy team now recently, it actually made me so much more aware of it, that I'm actually now part of that group that has a platform to share that. And it actually made me think we all have a story. We all have that story, in our lives. And, to share that with the world is, I'm grateful that I can be in that. I can use the platform to also do that. But I think what it actually hit was the first time I saw Siya Kolisi's video now was actually when the word actually hit me really hard. Hearing his story and, Adidas capturing, cause I'm a very visual person, Adidas capturing impossible is nothing in different athletes' lives, in their world they grew up, was very remarkable, because it starts at a young age. And that's why it's so important to connect with people. And I really believe that COVID taught us that as well, that time is valuable, connect with people, and just don't ask them just how they are. Actually ask them, like, really, how are they doing? And then you'll get an opportunity where they share this impossible is nothing story with you.
And just to ask, finally, if you've had a chance to go back to the school where you grew up, your primary school, and start to talk to them about your career, is that on the cards or have you been back already?
I actually been back to them, just after 2012, London Paralympic Games. I went to visit my grandmother and grandfather that lives in Joburg, and actually went to the school. The school's the large school, Northmead in Benoni. And I went back there to chat to the great R's, the great one, sorry, where my teacher was. And they actually gave me a book where they all drew me. And it was quite interesting to see how they all drew my little hand. It's called Pity. And they drew pictures of me. I was a gymnast as well. I didn't know I can do gymnastics. So some of them draw me in different sporting coats, but I still have that. And it was really special that they actually showed how I visually look. Some people draw my left hand that's not their bigger with fingers. So then it actually occurred to me that where people see it's a disability, it's actually a different ability. So they made me a big hand to show that I, despite being disabled, I grabbed the world literally with two hands. I took the world on with both hands, even though I don't have a hand. And that just showed me that's how we need to see Paralympic athletes, is they grabbing the opportunities they do have despite their disability and despite their setback. And that makes me proud to be a Paralympic athlete, is that we do the most incredible things despite being disabled. And that, yeah, that inspires me as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And Renee, we want to wish you all the best for your goals at the games, what's coming up this year and into the future as well. And just from our side, I want to say thank you for being part of the podcast and the interview today. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to the Impossible is Nothing podcast, brought to you by Sport24 for Adidas. I'm your host, Neil Gregg.